it's a time to have a testimony. Like Tracy said, if you don't have a reason to believe, you need to say, Lord, show me.
Yes.
We shared Amanda was a believer, but her faith was being pushed further than it had been gone before.
Yes.
The Lord just gave her another reason to believe that what he says is true. I like the day when people are coming to me every Sunday and say, Pastor, this happened. Or if you text me before church and say, you won't believe what happened. What is what the Lord did for me? Because you know what sharing that does? It bolsters the faith of everybody who's here. Because right. Those of us who have needs can hear that and say, yes, Lord, if you did it for her, you'll do it for me. And then we can enter into praise and worship with so many things that we've just heard to be thankful for. I want to talk about Passover and Palm Sunday today. And a lot of people get confused that the Last Supper was the Passover Supper. It was not. He's checking me. Are you going to say? Yes, I grew up with your teaching. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, it was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And that's when he met with his disciples, and they said, Master, where are we going to meet for the Passover Supper? They didn't have it because Jesus is the Passover. He is our Passover. How do we know? Somebody read 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Turn your phones or your Bibles there. Purge out therefore the old leaven. That's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that ye may have a new lump, because we're a new creation. As you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Who did it say is our Passover?
Christ
is our Passover. We have that to be thankful for this Sunday. And Passover, there are still people who did not grow up in church school or Sunday school and know what Passover was about. So let's review that by turning to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. Actually, it can start in 10, but I'm going to review it, but you can read along while I review it. God had told Moses to lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land. But Pharaoh had a problem letting his people go. And when Moses went before him and said, okay, can we go now? Pharaoh would have an excuse, tell them no, and we see what happened. And this is a hard-hearted man. This is a man whose mind had been dulled and could not see the things right before him. And we have people in the world today who can look at the times, see what is going on, and they have no cognition of this day that we are living in, that is the last days before Christ's return. So the plagues that he sent, frogs, invading frogs. Now, I'm not afraid of frogs. I thought they were cute as a kid, used to play with them. My brook, when we were in Trinidad, picked up a poisonous frog. It secretes the poison through its skin, so you're not supposed to touch them, or the poison can paralyze you.
Right.
But being an animal lover, she saw a frog that she hadn't seen before, and was, oh, look at this, how cute this is.
And the local pastor came out, Brooke, put it down, it's poisonous. And she dropped it, but God kept her protected.
Yes.
Amen.
She touched a poisonous frog. She held it. She played with it. Yet God preserved her. If he preserved her from a poisonous frog, do you think he's going to preserve her from the coronavirus?
Yes.
Amen.
Not only that, in the same week, I taught them before. Now, when we go to these foreign places, we're not used to the water. You can only drink bottled water. So even though we have tap water, you don't drink it. Brooke comes into the living room with a cup of water. I said, Brooke, where did you get that water? From the sink faucet. I said, throw it out. She had already drank
a cup.
The cup of water. From the cup, not the whole. We believe what Paul said. You pick up anything and drink it, it won't poison you. Brooke went on merrily her own way, playing, singing like she always did, and nothing happened to her. Not even Montezuma's revenge. She has suffered nothing from that. We have seen that over and over again in our lives of God's divine protection when these things come. But God sent, every time he'd sent a plague of thousands of frogs, gnats, flies, then he up killed all the livestock. That wouldn't go over well in Texas, would it? People would start looking for solutions real fast if they went outside and saw their investment in cattle lying dead on the ground. Boils. Anybody ever had one boil? Oh, yeah. Think of being covered in boils. How miserable that would be. Hailstorm. We know something about that here, don't we?
Mm.
Locusts. When we lived on the farm one year, we had locusts come and start eating all the hay, everything, even the grass. Remember that year? The locusts were so bad in Texas. It destroyed their crops. And then he sent darkness. You would think that Pharaoh or the king would wake up and say, yeah, somewhere along the way, he'd say, I get it, and I don't want to be suffering or my people suffering, so I'm going to let them go. But just like bureaucrats in the world today have rules, they don't get it. They just don't get it. They love their rules. They love being in charge. And they refuse to look at the signs of the times and see what's going on. If you have not been taught about the rapture, I have some easy read books. Actually, Missler. I have two of Misslers on the rapture. For Missler, they're easy reads. They're thin. If you need it to review it, get it from me, borrow it from me. I'll give it to you. I have it in my office today. So that you know that things, he wrote it before he died, looking at the time. And just like Daniel could look ahead and see this time that would happen during the Passover, he was able to see further into the end and write about it, and we're living it out today. The Lord can come before the church service is over. The Lord can come in the next decade. I don't know the time. I just know that these events are clustering together. My gosh, Idaho had an earthquake. Who knew Idaho had earthquakes? We never heard of that. They're happening all over. And that's one of those signs. Now the last one from the Passover was, he said to Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. No. Okay. Because of the hardness of your heart, I am going to kill the firstborn male in every household. Now you talk about reaping what you sow. Remember Pharaoh had said, I want the firstborn male of every Hebrew household to be healed. He's coming back on him. He's about to reap what he had sown evil into the world.
But God told Moses, tell my people to bring a lamb into their household and take care of it. And the night I tell you, you kill the lamb and you take the blood and you apply it to the doorpost and above the door. And when the death angel comes, they will see the blood and they will pass over you. That's why it's called the Passover. I want to tell you something about that little lamb. They had to look in their flocks and they had to find a perfect lamb without anything wrong with it. No spots, nothing. They brought it into the household. How many animal lovers do I have here today? Yes. And
being alone with them.
Are you
you don't love animals, you're mean to the dogs.
That's the thing wrong with animals.
Even my parents, they're not animal lovers, but they can't resist the cuteness of animals. And they take care of the dogs for us because, and the cat, because they're the only ones hungry today to care for it. So they have a certain affinity, even though they may not be animal lovers like you and you. So they took this little lamb. They didn't put it outside. They brought it into the home. And have you ever seen a newborn lamb? We've had them. We've raised them. Anybody else? They're so cute. They're so fluffy. And they, if you take babies away from their mama, they look for a mama figure. So they look to bond for somebody in the household. And the family loved and adored and got connected, had an emotional attachment into the little lamb they brought into the household. But on the day that it was spoken for, they had to take the lamb that they had loved, that they had petted, and sacrifice it. How many of you have raised animals for beef or dairy? Yes, I grew up doing that. You know your hogs, but you know they have a destiny. The first time my family killed something we had raised, my parents prepared it for dinner, we sat down, and everybody stared. We hadn't Our generation, my siblings and I, we hadn't been raised to see it from the farm to the table. And it was hard looking at that and saying, this was my gift. And now I have to eat it. After the first time, we kind of got used to it. We did get used to it. We enjoyed it. But that first one was a hard thing to do. After they killed the lamb, applied the blood, they were to eat that lamb that had been their little baby, that had been their pet. I want to tell you something. If you don't see the analogy this morning, this was a picture of inviting Jesus into our this house, ourselves, and knowing that the only way that he could be meaningful to our life was if we accept the crucifixion and the death that he went through. Having Jesus, knowing about Jesus, accepting him as an historical person does us no good until we recognize he's the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins. And when we do, that should endear him to us so much, just like bringing that little lamb in, that above anything, we love and adore him. I think if you love animals, you can appreciate that. I loved animals as a girl. I was so attached. My sister and I would bring any stray home we could get by with. Dr. Jim, I used to do that. Brooke, I used to be that way. Some people grow up, some people don't. It's okay. God understands. See, look at God understands your heart, because this was how he was saying, this is what I want in your heart. I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying God values that. He wanted us to be tender to that and know and recognize that. And every time you rescue something that somebody else has discarded and you bring it into your household, just be in remembrance of, yes, the Lamb of God we took in, we took care of, and then he became a sacrifice for me.
Yes.
And that sacrificial death didn't just save us for eternity. There is power when we take that in, when we ingest that, and when we do it symbolically through communion. We are taking his body, and we're taking the blood, and we are taking it into us, and we're declaring, Jesus, what you did now, I can do. Because I believe it so much, I took it inside of me, and I'm having this communion with my body of believers. And we can now do the things that you have done. God sent us someone to lead in praise and worship. Listen to her. She's anointed when she is speaking up here. When she has brought the songs, you saw the correlation of what the Holy Spirit had put in me to say and what he had put in her to see, to talk about. That doesn't happen just happenstance. Oh, isn't that a nice coincidence? No, it's the Holy Spirit working through the body of Christ to bring us into unity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Get behind her and learn to praise. Because we need the power of God working in us like never before. These are difficult times we are living in. For those around us. I got a text from, I guess he's kind of like a pastor to me, Robert, the head of our fellowship. How you doing? I'm just checking in. Are your parents well? And I was telling him, we've had some challenges, but every time God has met our need, and I'm not discouraged, I'm not fearful, but I am so happy to be alive and ministering for such a time as this. We're stupid happy here, aren't we?
Yes, we
and
are.
Every
Amen.
Time we get a challenge, we're just like, okay, what's God going to do now? And he does it. We don't know how, but he does it. But there are people on the outside who don't know that God can take care of us. They don't know Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So we have to take what we know and take it out there and let them know. Don't be fearful. If you believe, you can see your help coming from the Lord when there's no other source. That's us, church. That's our job, to take that out to those who are hurting, to those who are fearful, to those who are living in a state of, I don't know what else I can do. When we were praying this week, I call him my prayer pastor because he leads in prayer, and I love to pray on Facebook with him. He said one session, he said, let's pray against domestic violence.
and child abuse. Because we have families that are together 24/7 and they don't know how to be a family. And they're getting on each other's nerves and it results in abuse. Didn't I say that last Sunday as I was preaching? This will be a byproduct of this in unhealthy homes. So we pray against it. Oh, but what? As we're praying against it, we can reach out to people we know and say, there's a better way. There's a better way to live. Turn to Matthew 26:17. Now the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them and made ready the Passover. And when they had sat down to eat, that same evening he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they all were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He who dips his hands with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, You have said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink, ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They still were not aware of the finality of what Jesus was talking about. And we think you walked with him, you talked with him, you dined with him, you heard it from his lips to your ears, and you still didn't get it. But it's like us in the church today. I'm not talking about those outside, those in the world, because they have not been switched on yet by the power of the Holy Ghost to hear and receive from the Lord. I'm talking to us in the body of Christ this morning that we need to pray and say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want the understanding. When the pastor is preaching, activate the Holy Spirit in my life so that I'm receiving from the Word of God, that I may grow and become more like you. Instead, we're consumed with everything that we have to do. Some people
are thinking about, I have to go to Walmart after church. I have to wait on a crazy line. Some people are thinking about, I wonder what I'm getting out for dinner. Joey, are you thinking about what you're going to eat?
Yes. Yes. That's a boy.
Everything, or what we're going to do tomorrow, or what projects we have to build, or maybe even what the bureaucrats are going to impose on you tomorrow. But God is saying, listen to me. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to set you free from hindrances that are coming between you and me that keep you from hearing my voice. And how many of you know that in the church setting with us today, we have hindrances in our lives that keep us from hearing clearly what the Holy Spirit is speaking?
Amen.
Amen.
He wants us to focus on Him. Our prayer is, Father, remove those things. I want to be closer to You. Don't focus on the problems you have, because we all have them. Focus on Jesus. As we look towards Him, He becomes larger in our lives, and the things we have that are hindrances become smaller as He gets larger. That's how it works. Oh, if you could just see our children when they are praising the Lord together.
Mm-hmm.
They have no inhibitions. They don't care what their classmates think until they get into about third grade. They start hearing. Unless they start out free and continue to walk in that. They are moving and dancing and singing and clapping and doing everything with their physical bodies to express their joy in the Lord. Oh my God, church, till we get to that point where we can do that today, where we can be uninhibited to show the joy of the Lord and what He means to us like our three-year-old babies do. Did you come in when we were practicing with those bigger kids? They didn't have an audience, so they were kind of uninhibited when you walked in. They were just about expressing themselves. The first time they did it in front of their classmates, they saw their classmates back there going, they started shrieking. I could see that. But the second time they went on stage and sang, they had more boldness. See, there are natural leaders, because when Brooke does praise and worship, for whatever, because she has that God-given gift in her, you know what the kids do? They're responding. They're responding. We got a God-given gifted person here. Church, let's respond to her and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And see the joy of the Lord come upon those who are sitting here participating. That we no longer care what's going on around us, but we're caught up in the Spirit and what He means to us. If you can embrace that image of the little lamb that you brought, that you love dearly, knowing that after you were attached, like the disciples, after they had learned to love Him, after they had learned to have hope in Him, that's when they saw Him
when people have something that they are giving out to the crowds, to the community, the people in the community are excited like they were on Palm Sunday. Here's Jesus. He's come to set us free. They meant free from oppression. They didn't know it was free from ourselves. They thought he was going to be the new king, overthrow the Roman government, and they could be the leaders. It isn't the time for us to be the leaders, Jim. But you know what is promised? You get to be, princes, rulers in the new kingdom age. Right now we have to suffer from the lordship we're under. He said that's a point you're learning. You're in time that I called you, because when I renovated the earth and you come back, you get to be the rule maker. You should be dancing over that. You should be jumping up and down right now.
I don't need to make a rule, but
you get to see that this is a kingdom that is set up in righteousness, and it will be a delightful place to live. We have something to look forward to. We are thankful for the Passover, for the blood that has been applied to this house. And I ask that when you go home, that you anoint with oil your household, where people come in, where people go out. You pray a prayer of protection over your family, and you pray that the Holy Spirit will reign there and rule over the people that come in and go out. And take that authority into your home and say, Lord, like David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation from my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. This is a time to change the inside, to change the family. As families change, communities change. And when we get through this, I want to see not church as usual. I want to see a people who have said, Lord, you brought us through something, and we are more on fire for you than we've ever been, because we've seen your power, we've seen your might, we see how you've sustained us. My cousin, she's probably going to listen to this later. Alicia, they closed down a program she was running, almost $50,000 a month gone. She called, counseled, prayed like that. We didn't know how. It was a week later, the program called and said, we appreciate the job you're doing. We want you to be there for us when this is over. We're still going to pay you. Oh, we were happy when we got $5,000 a week paid.
Yes.
We were delighted. We were rich. $50,000! Oh, praise God! Who does that? But I can tell you, she is faithful to the Lord over the things that he has given her. And stewardship in the kingdom of God always works and never fails. And I've lived it. My parents have lived it. They brought me up that way. And I'm telling you, I know nothing else but to trust in God. And he will take care of us.
Yes.
I don't care what things look like. We have his hope. First, that death angel will pass over, because I have the blood of Jesus applied to my life. Not only is it going to pass over, he's going to make a way of escape, just like he did for the Hebrew children. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Bishop, you want to share anything with us this morning?
pray over.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day to be together and to hear the Word of God, and just be relaxed and let the Spirit move and let Him direct and let Him guide us where He wants us to go. And unbeknownst to you, you preached a sermon I preached many years ago on Passover. It was on the preparation of heaven. And you passed, you almost did it for later.
Wow.
What are we doing here? We're getting ready.
Yes, we are.
See, they thought, when they said, when the Jews said this is preparation day, they never understood it. And Jesus said, I don't want to get you men messed up with what they believe. I want you to know what I do. So he went a day before Passover and had preparation day.
Yes.
We're living in the days of the Lord, not the day of the Lord, but the days of the Lord, when he is preparing his bride to take him home. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
And as we entered in the service this morning in the beautiful songs of those that we sung, and the Lord was moving, the Holy Spirit was moving, I thought, how great he is that he has a preparation day. And let's just look at one man that was sitting there. You mentioned one, but I want you to look at Peter. He's a cusser, a big mouth, a know-it-all. And frankly, I don't think people watch him too well. But just about 53 days after he was with the Lord on preparation day, he got up and preached and said things he didn't even know that was in him. Oh, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. But she did such a beautiful job under the anointing this morning. I love to hear the Word of God and to be able to understand it like Peter understood it. And when he come back to his senses, probably 53 or 54 days later, he didn't speak like Peter anymore. He spoke like we do. We're on a preparation day. Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful for the blessings you bestowed upon our church. We're grateful, Father, that in these hard times that the world is having, we are secure in you, and we're not worrying and we're not fretting. We know that whatever comes or whatever goes, we are in you, and you will keep us as you promised. You will never leave us, and neither will you forsake us. But you'll bring us to victory in the end, and I want to thank you for that this morning, in Jesus' name. I just want to say one more thing to you this morning. My oldest son was always worried about what was going to happen to me and his mother when we got old. He thought you need to make preparations. We made preparations. But people look at you and say, we haven't got much. We don't need much. This week, I have niece call me, or her mother call me and said, Amy wants you and Bobby to come out and spend the summer in Malibu Beach in California.
They don't know Malibu. It's where the movie stars live.
Yeah,
that's where the high place is. We've had three offers for people to let us just come. We've got a place for you. You don't have to worry about anything, but just do what you want to do and bless us with the blessings you've received. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jim, that's what we're pulling, honey. You say, are you going? I don't know. And we will see. We might do it, we might not. I really don't know what we will do. We'll pray about it. But I just want you to know, all these years, they could hear of us. When we, well, I'm not going to keep it. Don't shake hands and don't hug anyone. Not because we're afraid. We just want to be lawbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Jacob, come forward. You have your microphone ready?
Okay.